Welcome to the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast with your host, hailing from Kokona, Wisconsin, riding a CST Tires SSI decals traveling back Yamaha YFZ450R, four-time ATV motocross national champion, number 25, Cody Jansen.
What's up, everybody?
We're back!
Welcome to the latest edition of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, episode 133 of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, presented by our title sponsor, CST Tires, in stock and available for purchase today at shop.csttires.com. I'm your host, Cody Jansen, saying hello to our over 251,000 monthly Digging Deep listeners in all 108 countries in which you are listening, and this is our 2024 Daytona ATV Supercross Review Show. Daytona always seems to give us plenty to talk about, and this year was no different. One all-time great made it three in a row at Daytona. The other ended his campaign early with a season-ending injury. We saw some masterful performances from a few individuals, saw a pro sport race that might go down as the race of the year, and so much more. We'll break it all down in the episode ahead, and then we'll have an array of post-race interviews with the likes of Joel Hetrick, Bryce Ford, Brandon Hoge, Zach Decker, Joey Norris, Jaden Launderville, Nick Janusa, Max Lindquist, Jeffrey Rastrelli, and Cody Ford. So we are stoked about that, excited to bring you something a little different here to kick off the new season. But first, let's quickly shout out all of our incredible partners. CST Tires, go to shop.csttires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew. Thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Launderville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Haymauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing, our choice when it comes to case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. New partner, the D6 Ultimate Quad Series, whose series kicks off this weekend in PA. So stoked to have those guys on board with us. And Manscaped, get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. Start the season off right by going to manscaped.com and using code DIGGINGDEEP20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Whether it's the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the GOAT of electric razor trimmers, my favorite, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit from Manscaped, or the best nose hair trimmer ever created, the Weed Whacker 2.0, get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. So rad that Manscaped is continuing to invest in ATV racing as a longtime partner of Digging Deep. Help us keep them in the fold and involved in ATV racing by using our Digging Deep 20 code so they know you enjoy Digging Deep and what we're all about. Support all the great companies that support us, and for any products that fall through the cracks, click that Rocky Mountain ATV MC banner on our website to help us out. We'll be talking about the pros and the pro sport classes on the moto ahead, but for everybody, the 2024 season is just around the corner. No matter what off-road gear parts you need, Rocky Mountain ATV MC has you covered. But before you buy, simply click that Rocky Mountain ATV MC banner on our website. By using our specific link, we get a percentage of what you buy on the back end, enabling you to help us out while purchasing the parts you need anyway. And did you know you can buy OEM parts from Rocky Mountain ATV MC as well? Yep, shipped conveniently right to your door. So click that Rocky Mountain ATV MC banner at diggingdeepatvmx.com to help us out while satisfying all your gear and parts needs. Shout out to all of our donors. Now, if you are interested in donating and hearing your name on the show, you can find the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee donation links on our website. Major thanks to all who have donated. And if you can't donate, but you still want to help us out, you can leave us a rating or review on iTunes and Spotify. That helps us out a bunch as well. Now, it's showtime. The 30-second board is up, it's sideways, and the gate is down. Time to dig deep.
Let's go!
All right, guys, we've been home from Daytona for about a week now, and we're finally getting a chance to record our season opening race review show. Joining me for this one is my lovely wife, Brooke. And it was chaos going into the Daytona trip for us. It was seemingly hurdle after hurdle afterwards as well. So just trying to kind of enlighten you guys what it was like for us. So the race is on Tuesday. And as the event got closer, we were told that the Friday before was going to be our move-in date into our new house. So we spent Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, moving into our home, hoping that we had basically a home to come home to from this trip when we came back from Florida. So we flew out Monday morning after that craziness from the weekend before. We spent the whole day traveling. Tuesday was the race. Wednesday was another travel day for us. Wednesday night and Thursday we spent with Yamaha celebrating the 20th anniversary of the YFZ, which we'll get into more, of course. And then what complicated this episode getting out promptly was our time spent with Yamaha, because normally I like to get these things out, especially Daytona. I've done a really good job in recent years of getting this episode out right away for people to consume, but we were with Yamaha in the days following Daytona, so that changed things a little bit this season there. Then my computer took a crap. It bit the dust during our trip to Daytona, so that was hard when we were there, and it was even harder when we got back, because I figured typically I like to organize my thoughts and work on fantasy and all those things right away after an event. And I couldn't really do that without my computer. So we got that last Sunday. We got the new computer last Sunday, but I was already behind the eight ball at that point. And then I got sick, and I've been sick all week. So it's been a little bit of a journey. We have post-race interviews coming up, and there was two riders that I didn't get a chance to talk to at the racetrack, and you'll probably know right away which two those are, because you'll be able to tell how sick I was in the middle of the week and how awful I probably sounded. But yeah, so I'm here with my lovely wife. Brooke's joining me for this one. It's been a while since she's been on the podcast with me, and I thought, being that, you know, we're a little delayed here, I didn't want to have to try to chase down any more guests or anything like that, and I thought it would be a really fun time for us to be able to chat about the trip that we had. And she was there with me for the Yamaha thing and all this stuff, so I thought it would be a good time and fun to talk about together. So first and foremost, thank you for joining me for this and chatting about your first Daytona ATV Supercross experience.
Yeah, I don't know what you want me to say. I had a good time. I enjoyed the sunshine and warmth and seeing everyone, because like I said, it feels like you live in like two different worlds. One of them is a race world and one of them is just our like normal day to day. So it was like transitioning back into our other life, seeing everyone again, and it was really nice.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things I always think, where the first race of the season, and I mean, so much excitement coming in, and you haven't seen everybody in so long, and all those things, it's just extra exciting. Plus the setting of Daytona. I mean, especially with this one being the 10th edition of the Daytona Supercross thing, it's been going on for this decade now, and it's so special. It's such a special place to kick off each season. So when we showed up down there, we flew in Monday night, and it was clear, like it was beautiful, you know, we're flying in, and all of a sudden we get to Daytona, we fly through the clouds, and we're in haze and fog and mist, and I feel like it was the temperature that we had when we left Wisconsin almost. I mean, it was chilly when we got there. So not ideal in that regard, but it was probably fitting, because they dealt with a bunch of rain down there going into the event. And that was kind of what we dealt with on Monday night when we showed up there. It wasn't ideal. We went to dinner near the ocean, and
we couldn't see the ocean from where the beach started.
We were right on the ocean and we could not see the water. It was insane.
You could hear it. You couldn't see it.
Yeah, that's kind of how crappy it was on Monday night. But Tuesday morning, we wake up, we head over to the track bright and early.
Right.
And it was truly, it was perfect. It was perfect day for racing at the World Center racing there. But Brooke, you had never been to Daytona. You'd never seen the Speedway until this trip. So what did you think about this monster venue? Because it's one of those things, it's almost impossible to explain to somebody how big and impressive it is. So it was one of those things that I was excited to see what you were going to think when you saw it for the first time, because it's so massive. It's hard to even quantify, like I said, to describe to somebody.
Yeah, no, the sheer size of it was like, I don't even know that I have a word or a sentence to really like take in how big it was. And I guess I hadn't like sat down and thought about it beforehand, so I didn't have like an expectation. But yeah, it was a lot bigger. And then I think we've seen so many movies, probably Talladega Nights the most, that like takes place there. So you know, you've seen bits and pieces of it in movies, even if you're not like a race fan. So you kind of like feel like you've already seen it, even though you've never been there. But it was big. And we got to tour the whole thing on foot. So I got to see so much of it. And it was just, that was really great.
Yeah, I had basically prepared for this to be the point where you were going to bring up the fact that I didn't think we really needed a rental car the first 2 days of our trip.
Spoiler, we needed one.
Yeah, I didn't have a rental car scheduled until Wednesday morning when we were supposed to start driving north to head to Georgia for the Yamaha thing. So I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. If we got to Uber a little bit around, we will or whatever. And so the Uber brought us from the hotel, which was just at the front side of the Speedway, around the back to the back gates and where you get into the back side of the Speedway and into the thing for this event. And I've been there, and I've been there probably, I don't know, 5-6 times, something like that or more. So I'm like, I know it'll be a walk, but I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. And we probably walked probably an hour there, you know, to like from the time we got to the, you know, to the back of the Speedway until the time we got all the way in and ready for the morning's first qualifiers. We basically were walking in as they were starting. That's exactly what happened. And yeah, I can't remember what our phone said we walked that day, but it was like 10 or 12 miles or something.
Yeah. And it is on me that I did not wear good walking shoes. So I will take accountability for that. But yeah, I probably got to see more of it than I was like, you know, hoping to, but it was really cool. It was. And just feeling like you're in, I don't want to say a historical place, but I don't know how else to phrase it. Just that so many things have happened and so many other people have made so many memories and so much has just gone on that it was just kind of a cool thing. And there was not many people there, probably compared to any other race. So you kind of had free reign of going and checking out wherever we wanted to go see. So
as far as Daytona goes.
Correct. Yeah. Inside. Yeah. Because our group didn't fill the, you know, the grandstands, right?
We were it's not the Daytona 500. No.
Oh, right. That's
but,
what I mean.
But the thing that always stands out to me that's cool about this event is there is a lot of spectators for the ATV.
There were, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of faces that I felt like I had never seen before. So
people make a point to go to this one to watch because you're going to, like it's dubbed, the world center of racing. And I explained to you going in that for some people, I mean, there's very few race venues in the world probably that are you know, as prestigious as this one. It's like the Lambo, I compared it to you, like the Lambo Field of racing. So it's a pretty special thing to have an ATV race still here year after year. It's a special thing, especially to kick off the schedule for the ATV Motocross Championship. So the track itself, we get there, qualifying's just starting, it's early. And the track itself was soft. It was as soft as could be, which could have been because of a few things. Obviously, I mentioned that there was some weather, there was some rain and stuff that the track personnel had to deal with there in the days before. And they actually said that the day prior, the dirt bike track was almost unrideable. It was so rutty and stuff like that. So in that regard, they did a great job. I mean, it looked really good, but it deteriorated really, really fast. And another reason why that might have been the case is some different people were building both the Supercross track for the bikes and then the ATV track and the vintage track for the guys on Tuesday. It's different makers than a year ago. And in years past, and also the way that they built the track in years past, they've actually like dug out some of that topsoil and built the track, you know, a little bit down from the actual grass that you see on the infield there. And this year they seemingly built the track right on top of that topsoil and that grass, which I think made that top bit of the racetrack really spongy and stuff. Because I mean, we were seeing riders get stuck in the ruts in those very first qualifiers on the ATV ruts. I mean, they blew it out so bad that they were two-wheeling, they were getting stuck, they were having to get off their quad and, you know, pull them out of the ruts to get out like you're riding in the snow or something. Like it was not ideal as far as track conditions go in rut regard, in softness regard. But I mean, in comparison to, you know, potentially muddy or anything like that, I mean, I guess it certainly could have been worse.
Yeah, I was watching those two, the split lane right of that corner right in front of us. I don't know how else to explain it for everyone who wasn't there. I apologize. But yeah, if one guy got stuck and anyone else was coming behind, if they slowed down because someone was stuck, they were all stuck.
Bunched up.
Yeah. There was no other option but to slow down and stop for that person. Yeah. And then you sunk in too. So yeah, I made a mental note of that just because I was like, wow, that's really going to suck if that happens at, game time here.
Yeah, you had to assume that the track was going to get better and going to get more run in and whatever. But still, the starting point was quite soft and quite ruddy, and it kind of made it feel like, man, it might be survival by the end of this thing, knowing how many laps these guys were going to do in their motos. So that first qualifier had people getting stuck, and the ruts were so bad and all these things. But at the end of the day, the rundown was pretty standard, with Hetrick being fastest, Bryce Ford being second, Brandon Hogue third, Nick Janusa fourth, and Chad Wienan ended up fifth. So that was your fast five in the first qualifier. Qualifier number two came along, and there wasn't much movement. The track seemingly was faster in that first session, maybe a little smoother at that time. So going into the motos, it was Hetrick, Hogue had flipped. Hogue had moved up to second fastest in that second qualifier. Bryce Ford third, Nick Janusa fourth, and Chad Wienan rounded out the top five, your five quickest riders heading into the motos there. So moving on to the heat races then, let's start with the pro sport divisions, because we haven't commented on them yet. 28 entries, I believe, in this one. So nearly two full gates in this class, which is insane. Actually, Corey Ellis, when I saw him on Thursday, had commented on just how many people. He's like, was there really that many riders in the pro sport class? And obviously I told him yes, and there was a ton of guys that signed up for this one, and we saw some awesome racing. As Jaden Launderville in that first qualifier, heat one, he got out into the lead, and honey, he buried himself in the sand, then was forced to chase Brett Musick back down, pass him, and check out again. It was so impressive. I was so impressed with JJ's ability to fight back from adversity, which is such an easy thing to not do sometimes. If you, whether you crash, you bury it in a berm, whatever, you get back to second, it's hard to gather yourself and go back out there and make a pass for the lead, pass one of the fastest guys in the class. So that was really, really impressive. So that was Jaden Launderville taking the win there in heat one, Brett Musick two, and Cody Houghton three. That was your top three in pro sport heat one. But I was so impressive. We went over and got a chance to talk to JJ after that one. But I had to say to him how impressed I was, because it would have been a whole lot easier for him to just pack it in, finish second, and go on to the main event. And that's not what he did at all.
Yeah. No, I was incredibly happy for him and so proud, because you're right, it would be easier to not fight that hard to pull yourself back up so far. But no, he took the reins and really manhandled them.
Yeah, that was impressive. And he said it was, I think it was his second bent axle of the day, because he was bobbing that single jump. and I think that to make the pass on Brett there, he had to do that again. So that's what they were changing when we rolled up on them after the moto. He too saw fast qualifier 16-year-old Joey Norris run away from the rest of the field, followed by Landon Korn and Noah Arnold, who were both making their 450 debuts, by the way. And Joey Norris just made his 450 debut mid last season. So I joked on race day that this looked like a 250 class result from the past year or two, which was really, really impressive. And then after that, promptly after this one, the pros came out, and Brandon Hogue made a statement in heat one, beating the likes of Chad Wienan, Max Lindquist, Bryce Ford, and Jeffrey Rastrelli by more than 15 seconds. And if this is the Brandon Hogue that we're going to see all year long, these podium battles are going to be absolutely epic. And going into the main event, I talked to you just about after this, and we talked about how you thought that Joel Hetrick, Bryce Ford, and Brandon Hogue were probably going to be the podium guys. And we won't give any spoilers here, even though our listeners probably know what happened in this one. But yeah, I was really, really, really impressed by Brandon Hogue in that first moto. I mean, he won by 15 seconds. We just got done talking about how Joey Norris kind of ran away from the field in his race. He won by 13 seconds and some change. And then Brandon Hogue comes out and beats, guys like Chad Wienan and the rest of the field there by more than 15 seconds. I couldn't believe that. I mean, you couldn't have imagined a better way to start the season for Brandon Hogue.
Gosh, absolutely not. No.
So
that was fantastic for him.
Yeah, so very, very impressive there. It should be noted that Bryce Ford wasn't second, but he made two big mistakes and had to, you know, found himself in the back and had to race up to fourth. So that fourth doesn't show the or tell the whole story there for him. And then Jeffrey Rastrelli was trying to limp an engine to the finish line that seemingly lost all its coolant. So I think that we were both almost surprised that he made it. We were watching
single lap, because there was one spot in particular where it just like looked worse than I think other places did, and it was right in front of us, so that's just where I got to see him. But every single lap I was mumbling under my breath like, please do not break down on Jeffrey, please just let him finish, because I know he's suffered some different technical issues, that doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean. And so mechanical, I just was, yeah, that's issues. What I was looking for. Thank you for pulling that out of the jar for me. But yeah, he suffered some mechanical issues in the past. And so obviously I don't want to see anyone break down, but I just was like, please let him not. So yeah, super proud of him and happy for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that he made it as well, but definitely had probably had a lot on his mind there in Heat 1. Heat 2 saw Joel Hetcher grab the win ahead of Nick Janusa, Wesley Wolf, Zach Decker, and Joe Chambers. And I believe that Joel said he was having a rear brake problem late in this one, but honestly, you'd never know by the way he was riding.
We'll get right back to the show, but now a word from our sponsors. And thank you for listening to these ads. Without these great companies, none of this would be possible. Show your support for the people who support us. The official tire choice of Digging Deep, CST tires are the choice of ATV Racing's elite on the track, in the woods, and every other terrain. CST tires swept the ATV racing world in 2022 as Joel Hetrick, Bryson Neal, and Bo Barron rode their Pulse MXR and Pulse HT tires to an ATV Pro Motocross title, GNCC XC1 Pro title, and 10th ATV Pro Works Racing title, respectfully. Led by champion Joel Hetrick and podium contenders Bryce Ford, Jeffrey Rastrelli, and Nick Janusa, CST's Pulse MXR tire is the most trusted tire in ATV motocross today. Available in soft and standard compounds, the Pulse MXR offers the highest level of traction, most predictable cornering, and superior wear characteristics when compared to the competition. And did I mention they have a contingency program as well? Visit shop.csttires.com to join the CST takeover today, or prepare to be beat by someone who did. The best of the best choose CST. Do you? You know we're Team Blue Crew here at the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, as the Yamaha YF Z450R is the official ATV of Digging Deep. In a move started by 8-time ATV MX Pro Class National Champion Chad Weenan, who with his next championship will become the winningest champion in ATV motocross history, we are living in ATV Racing's YF Z450R era. Alongside Weenan, 7-time GNCC XC1 Pro ATV National Champion Walker Fowler welcomed a pair of new champions to the Yamaha Champions Club, as the podium-proven Yamaha YF Z450R proved to be the winning choice for Joel Hetrick and Bryson Neal. This unprecedented success for the YF Z450R, its unrivaled quality and performance, and the clear fact that Yamaha is the leading OEM supporter of ATV racing has resulted in a complete Yamaha takeover within the sport quad market. Evident by the continuation of Yamaha's Blue Crew Racer Support Program, Yamaha riders will once again cash in on payout and prize opportunities in 2023, including a chance to win a brand new YF Z450R. For more info, head over to YamahaBlueCrew.com. Follow Yamaha Outdoors, as well as the new Blue Crew official channel on social media, and check out Yamaha's full proven off-road lineup at YamahaOutdoors.com today. SSI decals, your way. SSI Decals sets the standard with the best looking decals, graphics kits, and vinyl wraps in the industry. Established in 1947, SSI took shape as an offshoot of their parent company by doing a little work for local pro Chad Weenan. Nearly two decades later, and fueled by a passion for ATVs, the company has flourished into one of ATV Moto's most recognized brands. From ATV Motocross, SSI has expanded into graphics and design work for top racers in GNCC, Works Racing, Pro Motocross and Supercross, off-road, and more, headlined by 8-time world champion Top Fuel drag racer Clay Milliken. Whether your project is big or small, SSI Decals will make your identity stick. Get started today at SSIDecals.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 for 10% off at checkout. Things are about to get sick. The Digging Deep ATV MX podcast is brought to you in part by DID and their wide range of championship winning chains. From the street to the track and everywhere in between, DID chains are designed to give you the optimal riding experience with great performance and increased chain life. Consistent to the core, pick up your box of reliability today. DID, what drives you?
We are proud to be partnered with Nomura Technologies. For over 20 years, Nomura has pushed the limit of value and reliability in the ATV and side-by-side market. Covering more applications than anyone in the industry, Nomura's full line of cast and forged pistons, connecting rods, gasket kits, and industry-leading top-end repair kits and more have led to higher overall engine performance for your machine. Visit your local dealer or online at www.nomura.com. And follow along on Instagram for giveaways and exciting new products in 2023. Nomura Technologies, your one-stop shop engine component supplier.
We are pleased to be partnered with Bronco ATV and UTV Components. Bronco has been an industry leader in replacement hard parts and accessories for all makes and models for over 15 years. With a catalog that includes a full line of electrical components, engine internals and cylinders, shock and suspension parts, winches, clutch kits, valves, carb kits, bearing kits, and drive chain parts, Bronco is your hard part source for whatever you need for whatever you ride. Available exclusively through distributors around the world, visit your local dealer or online at BroncoATV.com.
For over 150 years, Valvoline has been dedicated to constant improvement and innovation across all disciplines of racing. As a proud member of Team Valvoline for nearly a decade, I have witnessed their unwavering commitment to pushing the boundaries of performance. Valvoline has sponsored some of the greatest names in motorsports, solidifying their position as a powerhouse within the industry. Being a part of this historically great team has been an incredible privilege. When it comes to my equipment, whether it's my daily commuting vehicles, race quads, or anything in between, I trust nothing but Valvoline. Their range of products and lubricants consistently deliver increased horsepower, durability, and engine life. I'm excited to announce Valvoline's breakthrough in performance, Valvoline Ultimate Power Sports. With up to 8 times stronger rust protection and 50% better wear protection, this cutting-edge formula ensures your ATV's engine runs smoother and longer for the ultimate ride. Tackle rugged terrains with confidence, knowing your ATV's engine is equipped with the best protection available. Ready to experience the next level of performance? Head over to shop.valvolineglobal.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 at checkout to unlock an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to enhance your ATV's performance with Valvoline's Ultimate Power Sports Engine Oil.
So after this one, Brooke took a nap on a bench inside. Okay. Inside of...
You guys,
couldn't even finish.
I did take a nap on a bench because so that Friday night that we moved in, right? Like, there's so much excitement. We built a new house, and it was the very first night that we got to like put stuff in it. So I don't know that I slept at all. And then Saturday and Sunday moving, and then flying all day Monday, I just had no energy. And there was a bench that was like off to the side and in the shade, and I left my sunglasses on because I was just hopeful that no one would see me and know what I was doing. Obviously, it was probably pretty obvious, but yeah, I took a 45-minute nap on a very uncomfortable bench.
And for the record, you did say it would be tacky. And I'm like, no one's even going to know you're
there. But I knew I wasn't going to make it through the day if I didn't just like close my eyes.
So yeah. So after the heat races, Brooke took this nap and she found a dog to play with, which was good for you.
It really, yes. I needed that. He was very sweet, very cute. His name was Cole.
So anybody that is friends with Tim Cotter on Facebook, you will have seen his little puppy there. His, what kind of dog
is it? It's a French Bulldog. Also, for those that don't know, we also have a puppy that's pretty close in age. So basically the entire time we were gone, we made, give or take, over under here, like 1,000 times we made the comment of, I miss my dog or I miss my puppy. So that, like, you know, helped me get through my sorrows.
Yeah. So Brooke got to hang out with, or we got to hang out with Tim and his little dog, his little puppy there a little bit. And then it was main event time. And starting with the pro sport class, this had to be the race of the day. The action that we saw in this race was amazing. Tyler Marlin grabbed the hole shot while there was a pileup going on behind him. And this pileup involved both Jaden Launderville and Brett Musig, who came in as my two favorites. So kind of going over the play-by-play then in this one. So Joey Norris was inside the top three before suffering a crash of his own early. It was just on the first lap or two. So that took him all the way to the back of the pack. Then Landon Korn found himself making his 450 national debut in leading inside Daytona International Speedway, followed by friend of the show, former guest Cody Houghton and Cale Deal. They were 1-2-3 there. And as the top three broke away, Joey Norris somehow was all the way up to fifth, and Jayden Launderville was up to seventh. And by the halfway point, Joey Norris had already found his way into the top three, so came all the way from the back. Now this is these guys are inside the top three, and then it was Cody Houghton's turn to take the lead, and I think he would actually lead more laps in this one than anybody, making it Cody Houghton, Landon Korn, Joey Norris, and Jayden Launderville. So two of these riders came all the way from the back and now make up the top four. Joey Norris then made the pass for second. Then Launderville made the pass as well. So that would make it now Cody Houghton, Joey Norris, and Jayden Launderville now the top three. And then moments later, Joey Norris came all the way from the back and finally made the pass for the lead. And then is when heartbreak started to strike for some of these racers. Longtime race leader Cody Houghton flipped in a berm, giving Jayden Launderville the runner-up spot for good. So now Korn found himself back in the top three, and then he suffered heartbreak when his machine expired late in this one. So ultimately, the podium was Joey Norris with the win, Jayden Launderville second, and Heath Hanna made a late charge to earn the final podium position. So stoked for those guys. Awesome race. I mean, all of these guys came from the back. It was some crazy action. And the stat of the day came from Harv Whipple, who shared this in the days following this event. So he outlines the fact that, because I didn't even know where Heath Hanna came from. I mean, it just seemed like all of a sudden he was on the podium late. He came from 17th to 3rd for Heath Hanna.
Crap.
17th to 3rd. Jayden Launderville went from 18th to 2nd. And Joey Norris went from 15th to 1st. Think about that. The whole podium came from basically the last three or four spots in the race, which is insane. So 44 passes. Now these are Harv stats here. 44 passes in 15 minutes for just these three riders. So think about all the passes made in this race.
That's insane.
Yes, just absolutely crazy. And then he goes on to say, who's to say that there's no passing when ATV Motocross comes to Daytona, not to mention the asphalt parking, the personal garages, Racer TV Live, a real media center, packed grandstands, and a NASCAR-style podium celebration, and not to mention 350,000 people at Bike Week. So he's basically outlining the fact that we saw some awesome racing and what an awesome thing it is to have ATV racing at Daytona inside Daytona International Speedway. But that stat, man, right there, that stat is the stat of the day, stat of the week, stat of the first round of racing, because that's amazing to think about. 44 passes on that little racetrack. It's insane.
One, I appreciate Harv, like just in general, and two, I super appreciate him putting that together, because that's really fun to think about and reflect on.
Yeah.
Because we did feel like we watched good racing, but it is fun to think about the why of it. Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah, unreal. Unreal.
It's wild. And I did think about the amenities that came with being able to race there and thought that it was super freaking cool. And just, there were some amenities that I'm like, oh man, I wish everywhere had XYZ. So
it's just different.
It's different.
You know, but I said to somebody at the Yamaha event, and I can't remember who it was, but yes, it's only a 40 some second or 50 second lap time or whatever. But if all of a sudden we just went to a random racetrack to start the season, it just wouldn't start. It wouldn't feel right anymore, because there's so much hype that comes with the opener being at Daytona. So insane racing there in the pro sport class. Credit to all those guys, and congrats to those guys that finished at the top of the board there. And this race set the bar pretty high. They set it really high going into the pro class. And yeah, Joel Hetrick's, we saw great racing there. Joel Hetrick's goal, though, is to make things as boring as possible by getting off front early and getting the hole shot and wanting to check out and get a hole shot. He did in the first point paying moto of the season here for this year's class of pro class racers. 18 riders in this one, and it was Hetrick, Bryce Ford, and Brandon Hoge making up the top three early. Then still on the first laps, Nick Janusa snuck by Brandon Hoge for third. So you had to wonder if that's how things were going to go here. Maybe Brandon Hoge wasn't going to have a race like he had in his heat race there, but we'll see how that's going to play out. So your top five was Joel Hetrick, Bryce Ford, Nick Janusa, Brandon Hoge, Wesley Wolf, and Chad Wienan found himself in the sixth place spot. Bryce Ford was keeping pace with Joel early, while Zach Decker making his return to racing. So stoked to see him back. He had a get-off on the opening lap, so he found himself having to make up ground there early in this race. Jeffrey Mistrelli found himself with a crappy gate position and subsequent poor start at the start of this one, so he had to make his way forward in this one. He was going to have a long race there. We'll talk to him later. Max Lindquist then made a pass on Chad Wienan, making it Hetrick, Ford, Janusa, Hoge, Wolf, your top five, Lindquist, Wienan, and Rastrelli. That was the running order there. And then that's when tragedy struck. So Kevin Saar crashed really, really, really hard, going end over end and then getting tackled by the quad. So in that moment, I mean, I'm watching Kevin Saar. He's on his hands and knees, and ugly sight. And next thing we know, Chad Wienan is doing almost the exact same thing, exact same spot on the racetrack, exact same place. And we instantly knew when we saw Chad down, we instantly knew that he was hurt and out of this race. And I think I even said as much on our Facebook play-by-play. I think I just put, oh my gosh, because we have never seen this before from Chad Wienan. He came into this race highlighting the fact that it was his 20th year of professional racing, and we haven't seen anything like this in ever, if not 15, 16, 17 years, if not ever.
How many races has he consecutively?
Well, he went a decade of, you know, never missing a podium, basically.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So obviously, right, like if this something like this happened, that would keep him from that. So it's been a minimum of that then.
Yeah, it was chilling to see.
It was like a really awful, traumatic, I guess it is the right word, a traumatic event that you witness that you can't unsee and keeps replaying in your head and like haunting you. It was awful, and my heart sank to the pit of my stomach for him. And my first thought was to look over at Danica, because obviously if something happened to you, I'd be in the same spot. So my heart went out to her and his whole family and their kiddos and just everybody that had watched it and seen it. Obviously, you can't, you don't look away thinking something's coming, or, you know, you don't know. So it just happens. But my heart just broke for every single one of them.
Yeah, it was unlike anything I've seen. He's been so calculated, so pinpoint for so long that to see something like that, it's completely unexpected. And you don't even really know what to say. We knew he wasn't 100% coming in, and you could just tell that something was seriously going on, because he tried to walk it off and, you know, tried to get back on his quad, and then he got back off of his quad, and then eventually they sat him in the golf cart and took him out of there. But you just knew.
Proud of him for listening to his gut.
You just knew that something wasn't right there. So more to come on that. But yeah, back out front, Joel Hetrick is plus 10 seconds over Bryce Ford. Then there was a 5-second gap. And then the battle for third raged on between Nick Janusa and Brandon Hoge. Meanwhile, Max Lindquist and Wesley Wolf were battling to the death for the fifth place position. They basically battled the entire moto. That was probably the battle to watch in this one, honestly. And about that time is when we saw Brandon Hoge make the pass on Nick Janusa, making the podium. Hetrick, Ford, and Hoge at the Daytona ATV Supercross 2024, and that's how they would eventually finish. Wesley Wolf and Max Lindquist, that they continued to battle back and forth, make passes back and forth. Joe Chambers, the rookie, put on a hell of a performance in his own right in eighth in his debut, his pro debut. So
that's super good.
So he killed it. Yeah, he absolutely killed it. And ATV fantasy players will know and have known how well he did, because he was the winning selection in his tier there.
I was gonna say, I think I might have taken him.
So he killed it. And also kudos to Kevin Saar, who got back on the quad after that big crash. He spent a while there without a helmet on and on the side of the track and maybe trying to catch his breath and all those things. And then he got back in the race. So kudos to him. That's super impressive. And Jeffrey Estrella was pushing hard late for the top five. I think he would end up coming up short, but he never gave up, coming from the back there with that poor gate pick and poor start. So credit to Jeffrey there. But that's how this one would finish, as Joel Hetrick made it three Daytona victories in a row as he won the 2024 Daytona ATV Supercross. And we'll kind of go down the results list here. So we know Joel Hetrick won. He made it three in a row. He obviously picks up where he left off last season as the champion. He's a four-time champion, looking for number five here in 2024. Bryce Ford earned his best finish of his career at Daytona with a runner-up finish there. So credit to him finishing on the podium. And Brandon Hoge, as we said, finished out the podium here in the third place spot, his first Daytona podium ever. We came into this one maybe thinking that, you know, maybe hoping that he would get a little revenge, a little vengeance on the possible race win that the Daytona Demons stole from him in past years and recent years here. But to get his first Daytona podium, I think that he was pretty excited too, especially with we saw an awesome day from him. Great in qualifying, phenomenal heat race, podium in the main event. Credit to him there. So fourth place, Nick Janusa. Not all fourth places are created equal, and I think that this was an impressive one because he ran in third for the majority of this race, finished fourth, got out of the opener with good points. So I think good day for Nick Janusa there. And then rounding out the top five, Wesley Wolf wins the battle there over Max Lindquist. Top five finish for him, former podium finisher at this event, so credit to him. And I saw him post on social media that, you know, he hadn't retired yet and all these things. So yeah, you always know what you're going to get from Wesley Wolf. That's 100% charging until the checkers. And on this day, it earned him fifth overall at the opener. Max Lindquist ends up sixth overall. He battled with Wesley, like I said. And we got a lot of these guys coming up on our post-race interviews here, something we've really never done before on this show. So we got some post-race interviews that we recorded there at the track, and you're going to hear from the majority of the top 10 here at least, and some additional riders as well. So Max is one of the riders that you'll hear from and talk about his battle with Wesley Wolf. So that's coming up. Jeffrey Rastrelli, he ends up seventh, came from the back. We'll hear from him as well, but credit to him, and he charged till the bitter end. He got close to those guys at the end, so credit to Jeffrey Rastrelli there in seventh. Eighth, like we just said, Joey Chambers ends up eighth overall in this one, his pro debut. Credit to him. In another,
it's a fantastic way to start your pro career.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Big time credit to him, because that's not easy. And when you line up against these guys that you've looked up to your whole life for the very first time, there's nothing really like that. So credit to him for sure. The other thing that's notable is only seven guys finished on the lead lap. That's how fast Joel Hetrick was going. He lapped all the way up to eighth. He lapped everybody but Jeffrey Rastrelli, Max Lindquist, Wesley Wolf, Nick Janusa, Brandon Hogan, Bryce Ford, obviously. So credit to all those guys. But yeah, impressive pace going on in the pro class here. Zach Decker, Zach is back. We'll talk to him as well coming up. He ends up ninth overall in his return to racing, and he had to come from the back after that crash on the first lap. So credit to Zach Decker there. Cody Ford, he rounds out the top 10 with a solid 10th place finish for him. Adam Ulrich, he ends up 11th in this one. 12th place was Aaron Salinas. 13th place is the incoming Pro-Am and Pro Sport champion Mason Jackson. So he ends up 13th in this one. We'll see more from Mason Jackson going forward. And I'm sure maybe after the day he had, maybe he's looking forward to his first outdoor of his professional career coming up here in a couple weeks. Tino Abatiello, another rider making his pro debut, ended up 14th. Marshall Smith ended up 15th on the Suzuki. Blair Miller 16th. Kevin Saar 17th, who got back on the quad after that get-off in the main event there. He ends up 17th. And then Chad Weenan rounds out the field in the 18th spot, only completing 9 laps.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
The following message is brought to you by Manscaped.com.
The Manscaped engineering team has outdone themselves this time, creating the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, now available for purchase in the US and Canada. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, an official sponsor of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, with this exclusive offer of 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0 and I am blown away. This thing is next level. What sets this trimmer apart from all the rest? The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. It features a new multi-functioning on-off switch with travel lock for those of us who like to travel. And my favorite, the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim with four different guard lengths, an upgrade from its predecessor that only featured two. If you're listening, you know that good tools are a must, so wait no more to get the best tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com by using code DIGGINGDEEP20.
Hey everyone, this is Larry Mills, president of DP Brakes North America and proud partner of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast. We at DP Brakes are a longtime supporter of ATV racing and the world leader in centered brake technology, dominating the ATV world for decades by supporting the best four-wheel racers on the planet. This year's lineup includes Jeff Rastrelli, Mark Baldwin and Baldwin Motorsports, Ford Brothers Racing, Nick Janusa, and many more, including Mr. Digging Deep himself, Cody Jansen. Plus all the top 17 GNCC pros, such as seven-time champion Walker Fowler, Bryson Neal, Hunter Hart, Cole Richardson, Jared McClure, Adam McGill, and previous champion Chris Borch. These top riders continue to appreciate the high performance and impressive durability that their DP brakes have to offer. Products ultimately help place them on top of the podium week after week. DP brakes are available through www.dp-brakes.com, or you can purchase them through your local Parts Unlimited stocking dealer, or you can even message us, myself, Larry Mills, or DP Brakes on Instagram or Facebook. And if you have any questions about product or sponsorship support, please ask us. We are waiting for you. Join the best ATV riders in the world equipped with DP Brakes, and have a great year, everyone.
Nearing two decades into the brand's existence, Factory 43 is back and better than ever, continuing to make major waves in the ATV world. For the third consecutive season, Factory 43 is the official aluminum parts choice of the Phoenix Racing ATV team, providing their state-of-the-art Evo Nerf bars, MX-style front bumpers, and grab bars for two-time champ Joel Hetrick. If you're in the market to upgrade your Nerf bars, bumpers, or grab bars, head over to factory43atv.com to see their full line of industry-leading products available for all makes and models. Head over to factory43atv.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Stillo, director of the D6 Ultimate Quad Series. We've been working hard over the years to bring you the very best in local ATV motocross racing. The D6 Ultimate Quad Series has race classes for all ages and skill levels. Maybe you're an experienced rider or you're just starting out, we have a class for you. We're excited to announce that we have 11 rounds of racing at tracks located in Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland. For more information, follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
And spoiler, at this point, we know that Chad Weenan has announced that his season is going to be officially over with some fractures in his back. And he said to me that he's doing well. He was happy to get out of there basically with not that much pain and feeling everywhere. Grateful to be in a position where he's going to, you know, presumably make a full recovery and be okay, but that his season, in his words, was over. His season was over as quickly as it started. So as bummed as I am for Chad Weenan, as bummed as I am that we're going to go a season here for the first time in many, many, many years without seeing Chad Weenan on track at the races, the biggest thing is that he's going to be okay and be there for his family. And
I could cry all over again. I didn't cry before, I wanted to, truly, but I knowing that he is okay is the biggest part.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend, man. I'm glad that he's going to be okay. Glad that he's seemingly his quality of life and all those things. Nothing's going to change there. But we're going to see a glimpse. Whether he's done, whether he comes back for another season or two, all those things, whether however this goes going forward, we're going to see a glimpse this year of what it's going to be like to not have Chad Weenan at these races. And I've spent a lot of these seasons in recent years saying, hey, appreciate him while we got him, because he's a living legend. He's like Tom Brady. He's one of those guys where, man, there's just something about him. He's legendary. And he's the old guard. I mean, he raced with the, you know, the Doug Guss and the Corey Ellis's and the, you know, even the newer guys that were a little more current, John Natale and Joe Bird. I mean, just the guys that so many of us adore in the ATV racing world. He was still one of those guys. He raced with those guys. He battled with those guys. And with Chad Weenan gone, it's just not going to feel the same.
Feels like a missing piece.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been saying. I know I said to Donnie Luce on Thursday, when we don't have Chad at the races anymore, there's going to be a big old void that he leaves behind. So thoughts with Chad and his family. I just am glad that he's going to be okay. So I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't even think he knows. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. It wouldn't be the right place to ask him, hey, Chad, do you plan on coming back? Because any decision that got made right now, I mean, you couldn't even put stock in it. You know.
I was going to say, too, for everyone listening, trying to like pick apart what Cody's saying, he legitimately does not know. That there is no hints or like foreshadowing in his conversations. There is, we have talked about it behind closed doors. Obviously our hopes for him, right? But like, he doesn't know what's going to happen here.
Well, and I think that, you know, we saw him break that collarbone last year. We saw him suffer a terrible crash in the preseason. He came into this race not 100%, and now he had this crash. And you just wonder, as a human, as an athlete, as a family man, was that the third straw where he's just like, you know what? It's going to be over. It's time. Like, the universe is telling me it's time. And I don't know that. I'm talking about how I would think about it if it was me. But you couldn't fault him if he made that decision. No, he's almost 40 years old. He's got little kids that are going to want to go do their own stuff and are going to want to play sports. And I'm sure there's things that have been on hold as a family for them that have been on hold because Chad's still chasing his goals. And if it is over, it's about as legendary career as we've ever seen. It's just incredible the span of time that he's done this and all the different racers he's battled with and all those things. So I do know, and I learned this on Thursday at Yamaha, that Chad wanted a 2-year deal, meaning that would have been through 2024 and into 2025. So do you read into that and say that, well, then that means that he's going to come back and race next year? They could. It very well could. Does that mean that he's going to make a decision and say, hey, it's time? That could also be the case too. But just one thing to kind of file away in the back of your head is that he did want to race in 2025. And this is coming right from, you know, from one of the sources involved at Yamaha. And another thing to think about and another thing to keep back there, if you're holding out hope that he's going to come back, is the fact that a lot of these riders in our sport or athletes in general want to go out on their own terms. And that's something that is a fair way to look at it. I think that's probably something that we all want to do. So that's really all we're going to say about that. We'll report any more as the summer unfolds and we see if Chad Weenan is going to, you know, make an announcement about potentially coming back for 2025 or anything like that. But I do hope that we see him at the races. I'm sure we'll see him at the Midwest races, at Ironman and Sunset Ridge. I know the one thing I haven't said yet is he said that they're going to try to do this without surgery. He's going to try to let it heal up by itself, and you hate to have any cutting going on your body. The least of that you can have, the better. So, our thoughts and everything are with the Weenan family there, and we just hope that he makes a full recovery and can hopefully get back on a four-wheeler, whether it's for races or who knows, just rides with the crew. Yeah, we want to see Chad Weenan back and happy. So my question to you, Brooke, before, you know, we kind of finish up here, is what do you think this looks like for Joel Hetrick? Because we know it took, as much as obviously I want Chad Weenan out there, I don't know necessarily how much it changes. We know that Chad was battling through injury last year, but it took him until the last moto of the year to win one from Joel Hetrick. We know Bryce got a couple wins last year, his first of his career, but Joel Hetrick won all but, what, four motos? First moto at Gatorback, two motos at Pleasure Valley, and the second moto at Loretta. So he won 20 of 24 motos last year or something like that. You just wonder. I mean, could this be the year that we see a rider like Joel Hetrick go undefeated? And it's not out of the realm of possibility. Brandon Hogue's better than ever. You got to imagine Bryce Ford's better than ever. And other guys in the class are better than they were. But I just wonder, is this the year where Joel Hetrick could possibly do it? We're not going to call it one or two motos into the season here, but I'm not going to sit here and say it's not realistic.
That was my first thought. Well, my exact first thought, and I'll just give it to you guys as clear as match, I thought was Joel's going to do what Joel does, and he's going to stay out front the whole season. And that's where he's going to finish. I couldn't even so much as to imagine anything different for him.
And I don't think that would come as a surprise to anybody. No. I mean, we're not saying anything. As much as every single one of us sitting here now and listening to the show, every one of us wants to see Joel be challenged. Every single one of us. And Joel wants to be challenged.
That's
Joel,
the point of a race, right?
Joel wants to be challenged. I guarantee it. As a competitor, you want that. But you just wonder, is this going to be the year? I mean, we've been talking about, there's been guys on these shows as long as we've been doing this, since 2019, talking about that, you know, Joel Hetrick could go undefeated. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is the year. Maybe a little more fun conversation, not fun in the fact that Chad Weenan likely won't be there, but is what does Team USA look like in 2024?
I think you're going to see the podium from Daytona.
I'm sure you would.
Which would be really cool, and I would be very happy for those guys. Honestly, it's so hard to say that while I'm thinking about every single guy out there, because there is not a guy out there that I wouldn't be freaking stoked for. And it is super hard to cheer for, you know, like, because you're hoping for the best for every single guy, because at this point, you know, being by your side, I've gotten to talk to everyone, and everyone has been so kind to me and so open and just so genuine that it's been really, really cool. So it's hard to cheer for anyone because I'm cheering for everyone. Mm-hmm. And for everybody who, you know, just comes and spectates and doesn't really talk to the guys, the race, the lineup, a bunch of really good people off the track. I mean, they're obviously good on the track, but I just mean in general as human beings, super nice, super genuine. So I would be really happy for those guys. Like I said, I'd be happy for every single person, but I could see those three earning it respectfully and genuinely, where there was just no question about it.
One of my first thoughts, because I talked to Chad before he made his public announcement, and I didn't think it was the right thing for me to do to break the news that he was going to be out for the year. It wasn't my spot. I wanted to give him the respect of, hey, let you break the news. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of waiting. I'm like, well, I'm going to text Brandon Hogue when that news comes out about Chad, because he's been close in recent years to earning a spot on this team and for Team USA. And this would have really opened the door for him to kind of grab that spot.
I hope that he does get to go.
Now, the one thing that I needed to make, because I posted about the fact that, you know, seeing Brandon potentially make the team would be really fun.
It'd be so cool.
It would be awesome. Because, again, he's been very close in recent years.
Yes.
And you could argue that there was arguments made that he should have been on some recent teams, which is a fair argument to make, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But we can't say that if Chad Weenan doesn't come back late or something and decide that he wants to put his hat in the ring, we can't say that a new rider will be on Team USA necessarily, because Jeffrey Rastrelli finished fourth in points last year. If Chad Weenan wouldn't have been there, he would have finished third in points last year, and he's been on Team USA in the past. So
I didn't know that statistic.
So a team of Joel Hetrick, Bryce Ford, and Jeffrey Rastrelli would be all returning riders, never on the same team together, but would all be returning riders.
I wish everyone could see the look on my face. So I would also be equally as stoked if Jeffrey was the one that got to go.
So kind of what I'm getting at is there's two options that are going to happen. I mean, presumably, unless something terrible were to happen, Joel Hetrick and Bryce Ford will return for the for the team. Yes, they've both been awesome. They've both been phenomenal in the last two Quad Cross of Nations trips, obviously. But Jeffrey Rastrelli is either going to return to the team for the first time in a number of years, or we're going to have a brand new rider, whether it's Brandon Hoag or somebody else.
I feel like I had my heart set already, and now I have to reopen myself up to the possibility of others. And like I said, I would be equally as stoked for them. It just then you feel disappointment for whoever doesn't. So this is a tough place to be in.
But it's gonna be fun to see how it plays out. You know, for Team USA's sake, that three riders set themselves apart, and a good, easy selection, so that there's none of the burning down of social media that we've seen in the past with some of these.
Yeah, that just doesn't really benefit anyone.
Okay, so the last thing I want to touch on before we get into our post-race interviews is our trip up to Georgia to celebrate Yamaha's 20th anniversary of the YFZ. On Wednesday night, we had a dinner together. What would you say? About 35 of us, maybe?
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
Fantastic dinner.
Yeah, so some of the riders and some of the people included at this one were Dustin Nelson, Johnny Gallagher, Corey Ellis, current GNCC women's champion Jessica Elioff.
Shout out to her.
Walker Fowler, who promises that he'll join my show.
He did. He knew I was going to say something to him. Super nice guy.
He's giving me the runaround.
Yeah, he was fun.
And Bill Balance, noticeably absent were Tracy Pickens and Chad Weenan. Obviously, we know why Chad couldn't be there. But Brooke, this was an experience of a lifetime for me. We spent Thursday touring the facility where all of the full-sized ATVs, the UTVs, and all the watercrafts are made right here in the United States. And we'll have more to come from this event, but it was truly a pinch me day as we spent time at the factory, at Yamaha's factory there. We watched all the Yamaha employees get giddy about meeting some of their heroes. You walk through the facility and there's posters up of Dustin Nelson everywhere and posters of Corey Ellis and pictures of Johnny Gallagher and Walker Fowler and all these things. It was really, really, really special. And to have Yamaha, to put it this way, to have Yamaha value Digging Deep's involvement enough to have us there and you know, want to do everything they could for us to be there and get there and all these things, man, I'm so thankful, and I'm so very proud. As a little boy who loved Yamaha, wore Yamaha clothes, rode a Yamaha Blaster, all those things. Loved Chad Reed. Simply, that started with because he rode a Yamaha. Just, so thankful that Yamaha values Digging Deep enough to want us to be a part of things like this. And really, as we're sitting at this dinner, I'm thinking to myself, are we really supposed to be here? You know?
I felt that way because I was the only one who, wasn't somebody that races, but the entire group still made me feel like I was supposed to be there. But for sure, there was a room of
because outside of those riders, it was all corporate people and people that developed the first Yamaha YFZ 450R that were there at the very beginning, and all of those things. So it was truly a celebration of passionate people that are very invested in the ATV thing and the YFZ specifically. And as media members, it was like, man, are we really supposed to be in this room? But they wanted us there. And that's a really, really special thing. So like I said, we'll have more to come on that. My intention is to have an episode talking about the event and the YFZ. And there's a couple people in that room that I think would be really, really, really fun conversations that some of you would really enjoy. So like I said, more to come on that. But honey, I can't thank you enough for spending a little bit of your time with me, chatting about the races and our trip. Thanks so much for supporting me and all the things that I do with Digging Deep. And I'm sure our listeners, some of them for sure, will be stoked because many people have asked for more of you on the show over the years here. But I appreciate you sitting down with me, talking about the races a little bit. I thought it'd be fun to listen to your perspective of the races and seeing Daytona for the first time and the Yamaha trip and all those things. And it should be an exciting season ahead of ATV Motocross, and probably a little less hectic for us with how crazy before and after Daytona was for us. So more than anything, I just wanted to get this freaking episode out there so people could listen to it and enjoy it and get a recap of the races. And I can't wait for round two. It should be a little more status quo.
Well, he did go get a brand new laptop, and that's how dead the other one was. He referred to it as the white screen of death was all you got from it. So, I shouldn't have any more delays. So yeah, absolutely. I super appreciate everyone's kind words in the past and asking for more. I feel like I don't bring as much as anyone else because I've never, lined up at the gate. So I can know as much as I can know. So I feel like others maybe bring a little bit more. So those who have been super kind, I see it. I appreciate it. You guys are great. Also, for anyone who has heard the jingling in the background of all of this, that's Cody's cat that is obsessed with him. They're equally obsessed with each other. So he has been up and down and meowing, trying to get Cody's attention because they are attached to each other. That jingle, that right there. He loves
me. And with that, let's get to some of our post-race interviews. Thanks so much, honey, for being here. Thanks so much for everybody listening. And let's talk to some of the riders right off the racetrack there at Daytona last Tuesday. Enjoy.
Success in the ATV MX world is similar to what creates financial success as well. The right people, the right advice, and more importantly, hard work and the benefit of an ongoing relationship as situations change and adversity is experienced. Do you have the right financial advisor to help you reach your goals? Haymower Financial Group can create a personalized, goal-based plan to help your family prepare for whatever life brings. Call me, Scott Haymower, at Haymower Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, at 920-338-8150. That's 920-338-8150. Office is located in beautiful De Pere, Wisconsin, with registrations and clients nationwide.
Headlined by the 4130 Chromoly, Launderville Steel and Concrete Supply is a full-service steel supplier of new and surplus steel, aluminum, and stainless steel products. This racing family-owned full metal service center and concrete product supplier comes with over 30 years of experience serving the entire United States from their central Midwest location. As the number one choice for nationwide shipments and with available next-day delivery in select areas, LSE has you covered near or far. 4130 is not just the chromoly tubing and plate used in the building of chassis for an array of motorsports applications, but it is also the name of the newest addition to the Pro Paddock with riders Jaden JJ Launderville and Max Lindquist, introducing the new 4130 Motorsports team. Launderville Steel offers a large selection of material for any project, including their concrete division that can supply everything you need to complete your next business or personal project. For a quote or more info, visit LaundervilleSteel.com today or give them a call at 715-675-6193. That's 715-675-6193. Here at Digging Deep, we have an obvious passion for ATVs and pridefully enjoy sharing the sport's history. Since 2019, when the podcast was born, we've been working to partner with individuals who share our passion, but one man and his vision had been missing from our partnership group. Until now. When it comes to the sport's history, the hallowed grounds of Binky's Forever ATC Museum has it all. Binky Tapscott's mind-blowing collection of 3- and 4-wheelers has preserved history by spanning all makes and models from Honda 3-wheelers in chronological order to unique builds that shaped ATV racing as we know it, like Doug Gust's iconic DRZ-powered hybrid thumper and everything in between. There's no denying Binky's passion, a passion that we certainly relate to here at Digging Deep. Binky's goal is to share his amazing collection with fellow enthusiasts by making his prized possessions accessible to the public via scheduled visits. Follow Forever ATC Museum on Facebook and watch foreveratc.com for further updates on possibly getting a chance to see Binky's Forever ATC Museum for yourself. We are proud to welcome Binky's Forever ATC Museum to the Digging Deep family. As the number one podcast in ATV racing, it's only right that we partner with the industry leaders in suspension tuning. Insert Impact Solutions. Impact Solutions is a full-service ATV and side-by-side suspension center specializing in the revalving and service of your motocross and off-road suspension. With over 25 years of elite-level knowledge, experience, and testing with riders of all ages and ability levels, Jay Goebel and the Impact crew strive to exceed clients' expectations for service and setup. Impact Solutions is the official Elka Suspension Service Center of the United States, offering unmatched product knowledge and experience. Whether you're in need of service, parts, warranty, sales, or technical support, Impact Solutions has you covered. head over to ImpactSolutionsATV.com or give them a call today. With the desire to keep you in the race, Ultimate Poly Products offers the ultimate protection collection of case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. Founded on quality in 1998, this family-owned and operated business produces products created by racers for racers. These industry-leading products are proudly made and manufactured in the USA, with their case savers being made of the highest quality American-made polyurethane on the market and designed to completely conform to your engine case to help prevent case damage from a thrown chain, because no one wants to be a spectator on race day. Join top pro riders like Bryson Neal, Walker Fowler, John Glotta Jr., Adam McGill, Cole Richardson, and more by using UPP Racing products. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com to save on your next order. Ultimate Poly Products, made to last longer so you can ride more. Thanks for listening, and remember to support our partners. Now back to the show.
All right, guys, we're here with Joel Hattrick. I had to convince him that he won three in a row, right? Three Daytonas in a row right now. He didn't even know. But yeah, Daytona 2024. Joel, I mean, you were in control all day long. Gnarly racetrack, carnage all day. Man, tell me about it. You got to be proud, though, three in a row.
Very proud. Now that you told me it's three in a row, it's very cool. But
I expect you to say three in a row in your post from this race.
Absolutely, I will. Thank you for that. And yeah, it was just killer for me, man. Like, to do exactly what I thought I needed to do today after, you know, seeing the track, and execute all that, execute my starts good, lead the laps, and not get into the carnage with the lappers. Like, that was the biggest goal today. And we did that good. And it was hectic, man. Like, this was the most crazy race we've had in a long time. So I'm so happy to come out with a win.
Well, so many people on the internet, you know, I see them talking about how it was pretty mellow or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so soft. It got so ruddy. And with these riders all over, man, they were obstacles in themselves. So it was kind of survival.
Yeah.
So I'm watching you. You executed so perfectly. Obviously got the start. Then it hit your marks every single lap, man.
Trying.
So the other thing I was going to ask you, it had to feel like a marathon, dude. It felt like you guys did 60 laps.
It felt
and
like
so when you're out
dizzy.
Front, yeah. So felt like it had to have felt like you did an hour out there.
It felt the race felt way longer because of that. Like, he put halfway out, and I'm like, holy shit, man, this is just halfway because we have a lot of racing left, and we're already into the. Thank you. We're already into the lappers at halfway, so I'm like, man, this is only going to get more crazy as the race goes on.
Yeah,
and it did, but luckily, you know, looking ahead that far and having that gap so I could be calm was key. You know, like, I think it could have went a different way if I was being pressured in some of those lapper situations. But, you know, luckily we didn't have that.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, good job. Three in a row. Congrats. And we'll see you at the next one.
Yeah, see you there.
See you. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Daytona 2024 season opener. Bryce Ford, third last year, second this year. You're climbing up the ladder, but, man, you had to feel pretty good about that race. It was carnage all day long. So to come out of here with a second, man, it's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, definitely a little nervous coming into this, not because of me, just there were a lot of new racers, and we didn't really know what the track was going to be like. There was a lot of rain this week, but the track was really awesome, and my day was up and down throughout the day. Had a good qualifier, qualified third, and then got in the heat race and was in second place and ended up on my head, and then got back up and finished fourth. But just really confident in my machine and in my fitness, went into the main event and rode my race, and we ended up getting second off the start, and we stayed there and just logged some laps behind Joel. As most of us know, that's not a bad place to be. The fastest guy on four wheels, just learning from him. Stayed with him for a while and then just really put it on cruise control, rode smart, and had a lot of fun. And I just want to say thanks so much to everybody who hosted me. It truly means a lot to me. I'm ready for Texas, and yeah, we're going to put in work.
Yeah, you should be proud, pal, because the way you executed, I mean, to be kind of by yourself the whole race. I mean, obviously, you were keeping, you know, an eye on Joel the whole time. But to kind of be alone and execute, hit your marks lap after lap after lap, and have had a you know, mishap or two in the heat race, to put that behind you in the main event should feel pretty good. So I would think that you come away from this one almost feeling like you won this thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a win for me. Just getting on the podium and getting the wakeboard has always been something, you know, I've always dreamed of doing when I was, you know, 15 years old racing super many here. And now to this point, being fortunate enough to get second, that's, you know, I'm very grateful for any, you know, third podium or better is great here. And yeah, just really thankful for this. And like I said, excited to go to an outdoor track where I'm comfortable. And yeah, it's my home soil, so should be good. I had the red plate there last year. I don't have it this year, but hey, we can shoot for it. Hopefully we get it at Underground. But if not, we're just going to keep working.
Yeah, still in the mix, man. Bryce Ford, second at Daytona. Proud of you, pal. Good job. Thank you. See you, pal. Good, Bryce. All right, guys. Daytona 2024 podium finisher, Brandon Hogue. First time podiuming at Daytona. Man, little vengeance, I feel like. Like, right? I mean, this is not a win, but it's a podium here, and you were fast all day. Tell me about your day. You should be pretty proud.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be flat out honest with you. I'm not, still not that pumped on it.
Hey, anybody, we all know.
I know. It's just because, man, I felt like we had a bit more than third, but it is what it is. I'm so grateful to be healthy. And yeah, like you said, first time podium at Daytona. So yeah, man, it's awesome. Life is good. Yeah, it was a gnarly race. So super grateful to be healthy. And yeah, God is good. Everything is good, man.
Hey, you've had some good seasons now, that especially that one, you know, a couple seasons ago, and you didn't finish third at Daytona. So pretty impressive to finish on the podium here. And you raced hard that entire moto with Janusa.
Yeah.
Tell me about that battle a little bit, because you were third early.
Right.
Gave it up.
Right.
Had to follow him for what, three quarters of the moto probably?
Yeah.
And then get it back. Yeah. And probably were feeling like, man, I wish I would have been able to keep it in front of him at the beginning there. But you guys battled super hard. Like, that was the race to watch for most of the race.
Right. Yeah, they the tracker actually made like a split line after finish, and I wasn't sure which one's going to be faster. Like, none of us knew. But Joel and Bryce jumped outside, so I'm like, well, I got to try the left side. And then Nick got by me immediately, and I'm like, man, because I was pretty happy with my start. I wanted to race forward, and then just had to let the race develop, and it was super tough to pass. Like, I mean, it was carnage, and yeah, one line and whatnot. I would feel the lines out and stuff, and kind of see what I could do with Nick, and yeah, I mean, it just worked out. Like, it was, I never stopped, so I'll never quit. Like,
hey, you look strong until the finish.
Yeah, I mean, I seriously felt pretty, I say froggy, but yeah, I felt really good. I mean, yeah, I felt like I could have kept going, and even when I got in the third, I saw Bryce in front of me, and I'm like, man, I want to get him too, but what a coulda, shoulda type.
What a coulda, shoulda, but to come out of here with a third on the podium, awesome things. Tell me one more thing. Tell me about the heat race, dude. 15-second lead, you won the heat race by, man. How good did that feel?
Yeah, felt great, man. I've ruined a lot of stuff here, like just in heats and just overriding, and I'm like, I learned from my mistake. So yeah, and I knew the start was going to be big. Pulled the start, and then I cracked off, I think, like 7:48 in a row, and I knew like that was probably gonna, if someone was on me at that point, like they're gonna be shredding. So and I mean, after that it was kind of just ride it in. So
and your team tells me that the team, the whole program, the quad, everything is a lot better than last year. A lot of growing from last year, which is something that you and I have talked about. A lot of stuff experienced.
Yep.
So sounds like you're in a perfect spot.
Yeah we did make some changes, and I've been, I mean, over the top thrilled with the changes, and I feel like, we'll see how we stack up at the next race, but just in training and stuff, I mean, the bike's been working great, and Wayne with DP got some suspension testing done with him, and Johnny, and my tires I'm on are, man, I'm a big fan of my tires with Gold Speeds, so I'm a happy guy. So.
Awesome. Brandon Hogue, third at Daytona. Congrats, pal.
Thanks, dude.
See ya. Have a safe trip.
Thanks.
All right, guys, we got nearly the entire top 10 and one pro sport podium interview at the track Tuesday evening. But full disclosure, there was three riders that I thought played a major role in the action that I had yet to talk to. Two of those riders join me here tonight, brought to you by the D6 Ultimate Series, whose schedule kicks off this weekend in PA, and UPP Racing. Use code DIGGINGD15 at uppracing.com for a special discount on their Case Savers chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. I reached out to Joey Norris, who put on a clinic last week in the Pro-Am class at Daytona, hoping to chat with him about his victory down there. And he informed me that he was down training with Zach Decker at the Decker training facility and asked if Zach could join us as well. So say hello to both Zach Decker and Joey Norris right here on the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome, guys. Yeah, we appreciate you being here. So like I said, two guys that I thought we just had to talk to. We couldn't not talk to you both following the Daytona season opener here. And starting with you, Joey, your first pro sport win. You came into the season with a bunch of hype, but you enjoyed one of those races that you'll probably never forget, pal. You were forced to come from way back. What happened in the opening laps there after the wall jump? What happened over there? I missed that.
Well, we was going in. I just came in a little too hot, and my back end kicked up, and it just bucked me over, and I went flying.
Okay. So that obviously made the race pretty interesting at that point, because you go from second all the way back to 15th, and this is the positions you were in following that. So you went from second at the beginning, you go back to 15th, and the laps that followed that, you went from 14th to 11th the next lap, 6th, 6th, 5th, 3rd, in just as many laps. In 5 laps, you went from 14th to 3rd. Take me through what that period of the race was like for you, because people were saying that it was difficult to pass at this racetrack and this, that, and the other thing, and you seemingly proved that wrong, pal.
I just put my head down, looked forward, and just like looked out far ahead and watched where I was going, and I was really frustrated I wasn't going to make my way back up, but I've been training. I was really, really tired, but I really wanted to win, and I didn't want to give up, so I just pushed all the way through.
Man, that's awesome to hear. I didn't know how the late stages of the race were going to go. You came from so far. I thought in my mind, I'm like, you know, maybe he'll just settle for second. You know, like I didn't know. I was trying to read your body language or whatever, and that was definitely not the case. You passed for the lead on lap 17 of 19. What were you feeling at that time? That had to be, like I said before, the feeling of a lifetime, especially in Daytona International Speedway to get your first pro sport win, man. That had to be so special for you.
Yeah, it was really special. Like it was a big moment for me, especially come back from last to first.
Man, unreal. I can't imagine. Then you do the burnout after the races, man. It was legendary.
Yeah.
It's not one that you're going to forget. So tell me about you down there with Zach. Tell me about training with Zach and all those things. Obviously he's been ripping. We're grateful to have him back at the races and all those things. Tell me what it's like to kind of be following in his footsteps, maybe a little bit, or at least training with him so you can pick up on the little things that Zach has learned over the years.
It's actually been really, really good. We've just been riding a lot, working out a lot. We got a trainer. We both use the same trainer. He comes to the track every day.
Okay. Awesome, man. Well, you sure made it fun to watch the pro sport action down there at Daytona. That was a blast to see you down there. So we want to congratulate you again. I wouldn't have been fair to cover the race. It wouldn't have been right to cover the race without talking to you the way that you came from so far back, make a pass late for the lead there, man. It was awesome. So want to congratulate you again. And I'm assuming first of many times we'll have you here on the show if you keep riding like this, pal.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Awesome job, man. Congratulations. Let's talk to your buddy, Zach Decker. Then Zach, I wanted to grab you after the races, but the few times I wanted to grab you, it looked like you were talking to somebody, maybe one of the video guys, Bryce Ford's video guy, maybe, or something like that. I don't know who it was, but either way, just like I posted on race day, Zach is back and we're stoked about it. You qualified 8th fastest, 4th in the heat, which was awesome. So what happened at the start of the main then? Because you had a good race day going until the start of the main, because you found yourself, man, like 20 seconds behind the field there on the opening lap.
Yeah, that whole Daytona day was a little wild. I mean, you were there, we saw the track. I mean, they got a lot of rain prior to the race, so it was a different Daytona than we normally have. A little less technical, I feel like, than usual, and it was kind of a little harder to pass, a little less lines, but yeah, it was just carnage from the start of that day, I feel like. Like, I went out of that into the first heat race and got together with another rider there, came from pretty far back and had to make my way towards the front there. And then, yeah, the main event came through. Yeah, it was just a hole shot crash, just came around that first corner and couldn't really decide what line I wanted to go to, if I wanted to go inside or outside. There's just so many people there, and I kind of made a last minute decision to go outside, and I kind of got high sided on that hump and then got together with another rider, kind of just put me on my lid. So I was sitting there, yeah, for about 20 seconds. I couldn't really get my bike started. And yeah, when I finally could get my bike started, I was like, man, we got some time to pick up here. So I just like Joey said earlier, I put my head down and I dug and tried to make as much time up as I could.
So one thing that I wanted to ask either of you is the fact that from the sideline, it felt like those races were an hour long. Like you guys did so many laps. Now for both of you coming from the back probably helps out, but man, it felt like we were halfway and it felt like, man, this race should be over soon.
Yeah, for sure. With those lap times, they were like, Joel's like a 49 second. I was like 50 seconds. It was super fast laps. So I think we did like 23 laps, I believe it was. It was a lot of laps.
Crazy, crazy, man. Well, like I said, it worked out for you guys having to claw your way from the back. Hell of an effort from you to come all the way back to ninth. So I would hope, I would think that you're probably not super bummed about that, because on that racetrack, with everything that you dealt with throughout the race day there, ninth is pretty solid. So how did it feel to be back behind the gate after the journey that it probably feels like this last basically year was for you? I would hope that it felt awesome to be out there and you feel pretty solid about your race day with how far you've come.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, granted, the result wasn't the result I wanted. I wanted to come back a little bit stronger than that. But considering what happened in the whole shot, I'm happy with how my riding was, per se. But yeah, I'm super stoked to be back on the track, super pumped to be back riding again. And I just couldn't be happier to be back on the track and doing what I love.
I bet. And you've been riding for a while now, right? Like, it looked like on Instagram, you've been riding for months at this point.
Yeah, I've been... Well, I got with my trainer, Drew Whitehead, in November. So we've been working since November now.
Wow. That's awesome. So you're right in the sweet spot right now. The last question that I have for you, one of the last questions I have for you, is how you feel relative to where you were at last year when you suffered that injury. Because obviously we saw the best riding we had ever seen from you at that point, running in the top three, looked like you were in possible podium position there when the craziness happened. So take me through kind of where you're at in comparison to when we saw you there be at your absolute best.
Yeah, as far as speed and comfortability on the bike goes, I mean, I feel like I'm right there, if not awesome. I mean, just a little bit better. And then as far as endurance goes on the bike, I feel like I'm better than what I was last year. So I just gotta get a good all together day and hopefully I can put it together out there at the race. So
awesome. Well, if you're truly in that space, man, that is going to bode really well for you going forward here in the super competitive class. It's awesome to have you back. Obviously, the races weren't the same without you, pal. And last question for you, the spring break race got canceled, right? But has it now been rescheduled? Did I see that?
It's in the works right now.
We're working on it. Okay. Yep. We didn't punt on it though.
It's not 100%. It is in the works though. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, good to hear. That's something that's been, seemingly has went over really well in recent years down there. So, hoping that you guys get to roll that out for another year here, but, guys, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. Like I said, couldn't talk about this race without both of you. Stoked to have you back, Zach and Joey, you killed it as well. So great stuff. I can't thank you enough for a little time tonight. Heck of an effort by both of you. Congrats to both of you. And we'll see you in Texas.
Excited to get on an outdoor track. I feel like Texas is similar to what we've been training on here. So I think we're both on the same page. I think we're both excited to get to a real track outdoor. A lot longer of a lap, not 50-second lap time. So yeah. We'll be excited to get out there.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'd rather have a fast track.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, congrats again. Thanks so much for being here. And we'll talk to you soon, okay? Best of luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, guys. That's Zach Decker and Joey Norris signing off on the Digging Deep ATVMX podcast, brought to you by the D6 Ultimate Series and UPPRacing.com. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Daytona season opener, Pro Sport. We're here with second place finisher Jaden Launderville. Man, what happened at the beginning of the race? So I didn't see there was a pile up, but then you and Brett were all of a sudden at the back. So what happened there?
Yeah, it was a wild race for sure. Me and Brett got tangled up. A few other people were in there too. Second corner, me and Brett came together. It was neither our faults, just racing incident. You know how it goes. Ended up hitting the ground pretty hard, hurt some ribs. Got back on, got going. Knew I had to put my head down and push. I knew it was going to be a hard race, a long, hard race. 15 minutes plus two laps, I think it was. And then I was in like 10th or somewhere around there. And I slowed down because my mechanic wasn't telling me what position I was in. So I kind of threw my hand up like, what? Where am I? And he told me I was in fourth. And I'm like, oh shoot! I thought I was back in 10th. Like I'm up there. So I knew I had a chance, and then I put my head down and really, really pushed. Ended up getting in the second somehow. It was crazy. Just
The carnage everywhere, the entire race. And I'm watching you because you started this thing a half a lap down or more, and you get all the way up there, basically seeing the leader in sight by the end of this thing, and to get all the way up to second. So before we hit record, you were just telling me good points day for you. And like you said, could have been a pretty crappy points day and ends up being a good one in the end. So obviously you want to win this thing. You would like to go back to back, but this is about the next best thing, especially with the way it started.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a really good points day with obviously how it started. Would obviously like to win, but second's the next best thing. Definitely some good points, not too far back with crashing and everything, so
yeah,
super right. Good points.
Yeah, proud of you, pal. Good job.
Thank you.
All right, Daytona 2024, Nick Janusa, fourth overall, ran in third for a lot of that thing. How you feel? You just told me that you don't race on tracks, you don't ride on tracks like this. Nobody really does. So tell me about your race day.
I actually felt really good all day, not like the fastest. This track was different than years past in Daytona. I felt like this year was exceptionally tight, and you know, we try to mock this coming into this, but this track today, I can't say it enough, unless you were here, unless you rode it yourself, nothing was as tight as we rode on today. So I felt like I only had so much speed for this race, and normally I feel like a lot faster. And I actually thought it was Jeffrey behind me the whole race, and I didn't even realize that was Hoag until he got in front of me. And, you know, he was riding good. You watch his heat race, he was fast. He was faster than me all day. So it's, I don't want to say he should have got third today, but he was the faster guy today. So I know I'm going to put my head down, got some work to do, but happy to get out of here safe. Listen, fourth for Daytona. I'm healthy. I feel fine. I'm happy with it for now. So it's a one moto format. We have, you know, we go to real tracks next, and that's what I train for.
Yeah, for sure. So my thing was, at the opener, you can find yourself in a hole. I know Absolutely. It's only half points, but to come out of here top five, ran third for a lot of this thing, like you said, you know, if Brandon was riding well all day and you hung with him all day and made it really difficult for him, would think that going to now to the outdoor tracks put this first chapter behind you, man. Still, you look pretty darn good today. Fourth is a good way to get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, Hoag, you look at the lap times today, he was faster than me all day, and again, I didn't know it was him, but I felt someone behind me the whole time, so when that happens, you ride really protective. So, you know, maybe I wasn't taking the fast lines, it was just protective, and eventually you lose that spot, and again, he was the faster rider today, but we're going to keep our head high, and I know where I stand on an outdoor track, and I know where my speed's normally at, but I got to say, I should have been riding my pit bike track the last month on my 450.
Hey, how about, I'll tell you what. It was bottomless,
oh, yeah.
But yeah, there wasn't much out there.
Yeah, telling you, unless you were here to see it in person, this was the tightest version of Daytona we've seen in 10 years by far. And you know what? It is what it is. I don't want to sound negative on it. It wasn't just that for me. Everyone raced on it today. So I'll take this. Happy, healthy, top four, solid.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
Nick Janusa, fourth at Daytona. Congrats, pal. Good job. All right, Max Lindquist, Daytona 2024. You had the battle to the death for basically this entire moto, I feel like, today. You, Wesley Wolf, going back and forth, probably the hardest dude to race with, too, in that kind of setting. Tell me about your race here.
Yeah, decent start, nothing amazing, but came out in that top five mix and pretty much stayed there the whole race. You know, with Chad in and out, sad to see him go down. That was a scary moment, and just hoping he's all right. But as for Wesley, yeah, I mean, that was just heads up racing between the two of us, and like it was just back and forth. It was more who was going to make the last mistake, and hats off to him for you know, keeping it on the track the whole time. And same here, I'm sure we were both whooped after that one, but it was fun to bash some bars, get back, you know, into that top five mix, and felt like we definitely are picking up the pace and learning some things, and just a good day overall, lots of good takeaways, and we'll look forward to just continuing to improve and have some fun.
Well, and not every sixth place is created equal. This was a very racy sixth yeah. place. Like you said, you were right in that top five mix the whole time. And I don't know how many times you passed Wesley Wolf. It had to be damn near a handful, at least a few.
It was a good back and forth. Kind of was like a relapse a couple years ago, battling for third with him. And, yeah, you know, just unfortunately on my part, just wasn't quite ready for that long of a moto. And we'll just go home and put in our work and come back and do it again. So it was a fun time.
Seems like the program is in a good spot too.
Yeah, super happy to come back with Weenan Motorsports and the Malaska setup. That's just been a huge help, and it's home for me. That's been the big thing, is like I tried my own things and I had our ups and downs, and just getting back on something consistent that I know and have faith in, and that's been a huge help for me mentally riding, and just I think that's going to really suit me well going forward into the future.
What do we know about Chad?
Not so sure. I know he got up and was moving and he's conscious. Other than that, I'm not sure on what his injuries are. I know he's in the hospital, you know, getting checked over, and we'll hopefully get an update here
soon. I mean, to tell the listeners, and I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, we'll know more, but yeah, he got up, got sat on the quad. He was clearly hurting, kind of pacing around, sits on the quad. I don't know if that was his decision to get off the quad or if the medical staff told him to get off the quad, but then they carted him off sitting basically in a golf cart. So, I mean, you know, he's moving, he's conscious, all those things, which is a blessing, but something clearly going on there. And we know he didn't come in 100% either.
Yeah, and that's the part that, you know, I think is obviously the real factor there is coming in. He was just getting up, I'd say, to full speed. And, you know, obviously that's scary when you just had an accident and unfortunately just had another racing incident. So, you know, hopefully if anyone's going to come back from it, it's him. So we'll just wait out a few days here, and I'm sure we'll get an update and hear what's next for him.
Yeah, he's an alien. Well, good job, pal. You got a lot to be proud of. You raced your ass off today. So I don't know how – maybe you're not going to celebrate with a sixth. I know how you work, but you should be proud for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely proud of the program and the success forward. And obviously not the end result, but it's in the right direction to the end goal. So appreciate the kind words. Thank you, Cody.
Great job, pal.
Thank you.
All right, Jeffrey Rustrelli, podiumed here in the past, wasn't in the cards today. What happened at the beginning of the motor?
Well, in the first heat, or our heat, Bryce Ford was over a single, wrecked on the track. I jumped into him, ended up hitting my coolant line off with my knee. So,
I was wondering what the smoke
was. Like that was, I was like second, third lap. So I kind of limped to the finish to make sure I qualified, had a decent gate pick. So that was kind of that. You know, the motor barely made it.
I was worried. It was getting tight.
So we did that. And then this whole shot here today, I mean, everybody's seen it. If you didn't have the inside four gates, you were kind of in left field. So I tried a strategy to kind of let everybody go and tuck inside. And Max just so happened to be stopped in the inside because he got pinched off. And I smacked him and ended up still 13th. So the start was terrible. I got by a couple of guys quick. Then me and Sar had a little battle. I was just couldn't quite make the pass stick, and I was launching a single in the back, trying to pass him, almost landed on him a couple times.
I was worried about your bearing carrier and your axle and all that
bent.
Stuff. Watching that,
axle's bent, but you know I'm a guy. If you can't get around him, just send it. So I did it, and finally got around him back there. I sent it, and he's like, "Okay, buddy, you can go." Like he, you know, I'm rev bombing him and stuff. So good ride to him, but he held me up just a smidge, and then by the time I got around him, the guys were kind of gone and.
You pushed because at the end, the top five was right there, and you came from a long way back. And the reason why I asked the way I did is because, obviously, we're not seeing you in 13th at the start of these motos ever.
Yeah,
so to see you back there, I just assumed something happened.
Oh, no, just how the start shaped up. Yeah. I mean, it was – if you didn't have the inside four gates or inside even six, maybe, you know, you have a chance. But mostly the first even three are where you get all the starts came from today. Yeah. So.
It
just really was – it favored the very inside. So if you're anywhere on the right of the dog box, it was really unfortunate for you. So with that whole coolant thing, like, you know, I was just trying to not start in the back row. I was actually thinking about a strategy, too, of if we got start in the back row on the inside.
People do it in the past.
But I was going to be late to the gate. I was. I'm not going to lie. So a little for the fans, little, you know, that, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, well, I was like, I was going to be late to the gate and miss my gate pick, and I was going to go in the back row on the inside. But they started on the back row on the outside. So I'm glad I didn't do that. I seen that on Pro Sport, and I was glad I didn't make that decision.
Yeah.
But I was trying anything, man. Like, this race means a lot to me. So, but I'm overall okay with today, how stuff went about. And, you know, usually when I have a heat race that goes bad, I usually prevail in the main. And today wasn't in the cards, but I think our fitness is there. I could have been a little stronger at the end of the race, but I made a mid-race charge to Wesley and Max and just to get it done. So, hey, there's another round in a month. So
So now you got a month. You got this month break. But the thing about coming out of here, 7th at the opener, isn't obviously what you wanted, but it's only half points. And
I finished 17th leaving here before, too. So
really, the real season starts a month from now.
Yeah. I'm not many points down. So I can't be too upset. My younger age, as I would have might have been pissed off and not want to talk to you, you know.
But well, your first race as a dad.
Yeah, 100%. And I just, the whole time I was out there thinking of her, you know, and the track's gnarly, and just I'm putting in all my effort, and I know I gotta put food on the table for her now, not just me and my wife. So it gave me a little extra drive, but, you know, hey, we live to fight another day, and we'll be at Ettrick County ready to you know, start swinging and get a little better starts. That start maybe doesn't favor us the inside as much. So, yeah, I'm really happy with my program. Williams Motor at RP, McKenna Tires, you know, FXR Gear, Rocket Machining and Design, all that. It's my program's really solid, and it'll show.
Yeah,
it'll show.
You got a lot to be proud of, though.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
See you, Bill.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good job.
Appreciate you.
All right, Daytona 2024 season opener. Cody Ford, top 10 finish, starting the year with a top 10. How's it feel?
A lot better than last year. You know, I've always struggled here. It's just this track is not very inclusive to my style. You know, I'm more technical, pounded out, but this is not like the kind of technical I'm used to. This is really rolled jumps and like something you would see that when you have a dirt shortage. You know, I'm used to running the big outdoor tracks in Texas where we, you know, man make all of our hills. So when we get going outdoor, it'll be a lot better. We'll carry more speed. It'll be rougher, and you won't be stopping and go so much, which will be nice.
But, you know, you got to tell the people, like, you come into this race, not tons of riding under your belt, working full time, all these things. So all in all, top 10, got to imagine you're pretty stoked.
Yeah, I just more plan on doing this race on experience because we got loaded up at work and I got sick the last week. So I really haven't been able to ride the last week and a half. And I maybe got less than 7 or 8 rides in this year. And so I came in here woefully underprepared, and I was just hoping to be able to rely on my knowledge base because this will be my 6th year racing Daytona. So
nice.
I got a lot more experience than a lot of these younger guys, which, I mean, if you go back and look at the results, I wasn't necessarily the fastest guy in the top 10, and there was guys outside of the top 10 that were faster. But one thing I can tell you is if you hit a berm and flip, or if you, you know, wipe out, you're not going to put the race together. And I've had this race just set the tone for my season and being awful. And I wanted to be in the top 10 out of here because I know every year I've clawed my way back into the points into the top 10 from here. You know, we had the 4th last year at Pleasure Valley, which brought us back closer to that top 10 because we came out of here so bad. So coming out of here with a decent place, I think it might, when we go outdoors, I'll be set.
Yeah, and now next up is Texas, so home turf there. Congrats, pal. Top 10.
Okay, thank you.
Man, stoked to finally get this episode out. My apologies for the delay. Shouldn't happen again. I also realized that I didn't give the entire rundown for our Pro Sport class, so let's do that now. Obviously, Joey Norris, we heard from him. He was our winner. Jaden Launderville finished 2nd. Heath Hanna 3rd. Dawson Herringer 4th. Damian Hubert rounded out the top 5. Gage Beebe, Nicholas Mathard, Canadian rider, finished 7th. Tyler Marlin, Justice McDaniel, Vincent Dillon rounding out the top 10. Cody Houghton came in the 11th spot after that heartbreaker there. Noah Arnold, 12th. Brett Musick, 13th. Caden Kingis, Ian Juca, 15th. Nolan Scalisi, 16th. Cale Deal, Landon Korn. Chad Whedon's Argentinian rider for this one, Lucio on the number 15. He ended up 19th. And Dominic Noble rounded out our main event field. He did not start this one. Looked like he had a bike problem on the sight lap. Also, I mentioned a few times that we had 3 riders that I didn't get a chance to talk to at the racetrack there that deserved to be on the show. The one that I didn't get a chance to chat with eventually was Joe Chambers, who absolutely slayed it. So I look forward to talking to him on an upcoming episode. But thanks to all who were involved in this whale of an episode. Thanks to producer Dallas Jansen, my brother, for all his hard work. Thanks to my wife, Brooke, for her involvement on this episode and always. Thanks to AMA official Harv Whipple. And one more special thank you to Scott Newby for everything to do with our Yamaha trip up to Georgia last week. That was amazing. So thanks to him. Thanks to all of our donors. You know who you are. We appreciate you so much. Thanks to all of our partners, CST Tires. Go to shop.csttires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew, thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Launerville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Haymauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing, use code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com, the D6 Ultimate Quad Series, thanks to those guys, and Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP15.
diggingdeep20 at manscaped.com. Support the brands that support our show, and don't forget to use those codes to save. Find it all on our website, and be sure to click that Rocky Mountain HVMC banner for all your gear and parts needs and to help us out. And most of all, thanks to you guys for listening. Shop.diggingdeepatvmx.com is your spot to find all of our merchandise, new stuff on there heading into the new season here. So we're stoked about that. Check that out. And you can still sign up for Digging Deep ATV Fantasy at atvfantasy.com. Congrats to our winners at round one who correctly selected Joel Hetrick, Brandon Hogue, Wesley Wolf, and Joe Chambers. So congrats to those riders on finishing at the top of their tiers. And congrats to, I believe, our 9 winners at the season opener. And if you are a ATV fantasy player, we have some people that lock their teams in right away after the race before. We had tier changes since round one that happened in the days following. So you're definitely going to want to go on there, go to atvfantasy.com, check out our tier changes and see what the landscape is going to look like going into round number 2. If you're looking for another easy way to help support us, visit our website and click the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee buttons. This allows you to set up a one-time or monthly contribution to support our efforts. Follow the show on social media, Digging Deep ATVMX Podcast, or myself, Cody Jansen, for additional content, coverage, and more fun stuff as we are now full-blown into the 2024 season of ATV Motocross. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find the Digging Deep ATVMX podcast. All episodes, additional podcast providers, sponsor links, and discount codes, show merchandise, fantasy info, and more can all be found on our website, diggingdeepatvmx.com, so check that out today. Be a friend, tell a friend, please download, subscribe, rate, review, and share. And with that, for Joel Hetrick, Bryce Ford, Brandon Hogue, Zach Decker, Joey Norris, Jaden Launderville, Nick Janusa, Max Lindquist, Jeffrey Rastrelli, Cody Ford, Brooke Jansen, Dallas Jansen, and I'm your host, Cody Jansen. Thanks for listening to and making us the most listened to podcast in ATV racing, with more than 251,000 downloads last month in 108 total countries. Until next time, thanks for joining us in digging deep with the stars of ATV Motocross.
Things are crashing and burning here at the Digging Deep podcast, much like the Titanic.
Those guys were hauling ass, for real.
I remember watching Doug Gus, I don't know who it was, Steel City, running the same times Friday afternoon as James Stewart was on Sunday back then. It was mental. I've never seen quads go that fast.
Quadlers are freaking gnarly.